are talking about hindrances to our prayer, or what would cause God to not lend his ear to my prayer. Amen. So let's pray real fast. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service, and that we're going to leave here changed people. We're going to leave here refreshed and encouraged, Lord. No anxiety, no depression, no despair, but people that are excited and filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to go out and do your work. We love you and we praise you, and your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray, and everybody in the church said, amen. So, for 2 weeks, we went through the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father Prayer, or the Disciples Prayer. What it is it is a Jesus' template that he gave his disciples on how to pray. You don't have to go through the Lord's Prayer verbatim. It doesn't hurt if you do that, okay? But we want to be sincere in our prayer. We don't want to be just mechanical saying some things, but we want to have heartfelt reverence for our Lord and Savior. But God wants us to pray. God wants us to spend time with him. And guys, we need to spend time with him. A lot of the times, the difference between us going around anxious, stressed out, grumpy, is we're not spending time with the Lord. You know, I'm not saying all the time, but I'm saying these are wonderful things that God has given us for us to have joy and peace and to be a blessing to other people. It's hard to encourage somebody when you are distraught and in despair yourself. Can I get a witness? Okay, so here's the deal. God has given us his word to encourage us. He has given us the ability to communicate with our Heavenly Father. Okay, and we need to do that. Something that I think that often in my life I take for granted. I don't take it serious. I don't do it like I should. But heaven forbid that we waste this time anymore. We need to spend time with the Lord. Moving forward. Okay, the biggest hindrance to the Lord not bending his ear, if I can say that, to your prayer is if you do not belong to him. And we touched on that last week. Number one, the biggest reason why God is not going to hear your prayer is if you are not in the family. Okay, matter of fact, look at John 14 and verse 6. Now, this verse is certainly talking about salvation, okay? But in the same way, it is also talking about our prayer life, okay? So let's read the verse together, John 14, verse 6. This is when Thomas is talking to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is saying, hey, guys, I'm going to be going away. And the disciples are pretty upset about that. But Jesus says, you know the way. You know the way, Thomas. And Thomas is like, do I? I don't understand. But look here, John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, or said to Thomas, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now think about what I just said. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we're talking about communicating or praying to our Heavenly Father up in heaven. Okay, number one, he's got to be your Heavenly Father. And you do not have access to him unless you belong to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? There's no access to God the Father unless you go through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense this morning, church people? So what I'm trying to say, first and foremost, we have to have a love relationship with our Lord and Savior to be able to pray, or for him to even hear our prayers. Look at the bottom of this slide right here, Matthew 6 and verse 9. This is a little snippet out of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 and verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So it says our Father in heaven. What does the Father speak of? Well, it speaks of the authority of a father, but it also speaks of that intimate relationship. Are you guys with me? Okay, we have a Heavenly Father in heaven. We have to have relationship with him. Does that make sense, church people? Does it make sense? Okay, we got to have relationship with him if we want God to hear our prayers. Okay, so go with me to John 9 and verse 31. This is one of my, I have a lot of favorites, but this right here really tickles me. I love it how God uses this formerly blind man, which is how we all were. Amen. Can I get a witness? God uses this formerly blind man to school the religious elite of the day, and it sheds a lot of light on the subject which we're talking about this morning. Does God hear the prayers of the unsaved, or does God hear the prayers of the unbeliever? Well, this fella who was born blind, Jesus gives him his sight, heals him. Now this man who was once born blind, who was just blind earlier in the day, has now been called in front of the Pharisees. He's being grilled by them about Jesus and about what has happened to him. And this is what the healed guy, or the guy that was born blind, this is what he says. Now listen up. Talking about, does God hear the prayers of the unsaved? Does God hear the prayer of the unbeliever? So right now we're talking about hindrances to our prayer life, or hindrances to the Lord hearing our prayers. If you don't got that point by now, John 9 and verse 31, this is the formerly blind guy. We know that God does not listen to sinners, okay? And he's not talking about somebody that has made a mistake. He's talking about someone that does not have relationship with their heavenly Father, does not have that relationship. We know that God does not listen to sinners, okay? But if anyone is a worshiper of God, or if somebody belongs to God, so there's these two types of people, the sinner, okay? And I'm not saying that Christians don't sin. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's the sinner, and then there's the worshiper of God, or the person that loves God. Okay, look at your neighbor this morning and say, I love God. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Okay, so if you want God to hear your prayers, you need to be in the family. If you're a worshiper of God, if you do God's will, okay, that's a pretty good sign that you're in his family. Amen. If I'm in the family of God, if I'm a saved person, I am going to be bearing some good fruit. So the blind guy, or the formerly blind guy, is schooling the Pharisees like, yeah, this guy had to have relationship with the Father in order to do this, or in order to perform this miracle. Okay. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. We must be born again. Okay, now, so we've established that God is not obligated to hear the prayer of the unbeliever. Okay, but there is a prayer that God is more than willing to hear, and he wants to hear from the unbeliever. And that's how we all got into the family of God. That's how we were all saved. There's that prayer of repentance, that prayer of saying, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I turn from my sins. I know that what I've done is wrong and not pleasing to God. I repent of these sins and I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I believe he is the Son of God. He died for my sins and he rose from the dead. A prayer of repentance, okay, asking God to forgive me. Now, guess what? Boom, I'm in the family of God. And now I have access to the throne room of heaven. And I'm just trying to make this point, guys, that we need to spend time in prayer. And I'm not trying to overcomplicate it, even if it seems like I'm trying to overcomplicate it. This is what we need to do. We need to come to God on a daily basis in prayer and spend time with our Lord. Ask him to forgive us of our sins. Spend some time magnifying him or praising him, and spend time with our Lord and Savior. No one has ever left a time of prayer saying, that was a total waste of time. Amen. Can I get a witness? It is a huge blessing that we need to take advantage of. So let's look at a little picture of repentance real far, real fast, I guess I should say. So in Jonah, look at Jonah chapter 3. We're all familiar with this story. This is one of the stories that atheists or doubters like to bring up from time to time, because it seems a little fantastic or just kind of hard to believe. Well, it's not hard for me to believe at all. It's not that Christians check their intellect at the door. It's not that Christians are stupid people. It's certainly not that Christians believe in fairy tales. But this one has been thrown in people's faces from time to time. But what about this cat? What about this dude being swallowed up by a whale or a big fish? and man, and all this going on. Man, that just sounds so ridiculous. Okay, well, okay, in the Gospels, Jesus actually talks about this, so it's not a metaphor. If anybody's saying, well, it's just a metaphor for something. But Jesus actually gives this validity as he talks about it. I'm not going to go into that. But also, if you have doubts about this, it's okay, but let's go to the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, if we start with that, and we understand that, that if God created the whole ball of wax, he can do whatever he wants to. He can create the perfect fish to have underneath this boat waiting for this dude to jump into the water. God can do whatever he wants to. I have no doubt in my mind this totally happened, all right? So anywho, moving forward, we know the story. This guy, Jonah, was told by God, go to Nineveh and tell them, you know, preach a revival in Nineveh. Go to the enemies of Israel and preach to them and tell them in 40 days, if you don't repent, destruction is going to come on this city. And we know what happened. Jonah didn't want to do it. Jonah was like, man, I don't like those guys, man. I do not like those guys. I do not want to do this. And, you know, the Ninevites, these guys were hardcore, vicious, and cruel, demon-worshipping people. They were the arch-enemies of Israel, and they were extremely brutal. So I understand in the natural right, Jonah was saying, I don't want to go there. And I don't think it was out of fear. I think it was, man, I don't like those people. I don't want to preach a revival of repentance to these cats. I don't want them to repent. But anyways, this is a picture. In the Old Testament, this is a picture of God's grace and God's mercy. Can I get a witness? Anyways, Jonah rebels. We know the story. He gets swallowed by a big fish. But here's the deal. He does repent. Jonah repents of his sin as a believer. We'll talk about a believer in his situation in a moment. But right now we're talking about the unbeliever. How can the unbeliever's prayers be heard? Well, the only prayer God's going to hear is that prayer of repentance. Okay, does that make sense? Jonah 3, 4, and 5. Jonah began to go into the city. He's going into Nineveh now. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. This was a massive city. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, it's kind of comical to picture how Jonah must have looked and how he must have smelled being in that big old fish for 3 days and what the stomach acids may have done to his hair and his body. But whatever the time in that fish allowed Jonah to be recognized and gave him that audience as he stood up and began to proclaim, 40 days from now, this city is going to be destroyed. We're talking about repentance. Now check out verse 5. And the people of Nineveh believed God. Now in the original Hebrew, this believed God, in the original Hebrew, it speaks of immediate repentance. They saw this guy, the message pierced their heart, and these guys that did not belong to the God of Israel, did not belong to the one true God. These were pagan worshipers. They did these just completely vile forms of worship. But when they heard the message, the Holy Spirit pierced their hearts and they all repented. It was a citywide repentance from the king all the way down. They turned. So what is repentance? Repentance is, it's like in a military term, it's like doing an about face. So I was doing this. I was cool with doing this, but I realized this is vile and unpleasing to God. So I do an about face. I turn and I go a different way. And that's what these people did. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. From the king all the way down to the barnyard animals, they were putting sackcloth on everybody. And that's true. And sackcloth and fasting, these are signs of grief, signs of mourning, but also signs of repentance. And so just a little info, if you will, on what sackcloth is. This is this garment that people would wear in ancient times over in the Middle East, Palestine, and whatnot. It was very uncomfortable. Think of like the old school potato sacks. Anybody remember those? You don't ever see them anymore. But think of something like that they would wear under their clothes a lot of the times. But see, it was made out of animal hair and it was very coarse, very uncomfortable. So every moment, they would think about what had been going on. So this is a picture of a city state or a city repenting, a massive city repenting and giving their lives to God. Okay, so if I want God to hear my prayer, I've got to be in the family. And if you're not in the family, you need to get in the family. Okay, it's not just about communicating with God, which is a wonderful blessing for the believer, but there's no way to the Father except through the Son. And I'm actually talking now about eternal life. How does eternal life sound to you guys? It's a pretty big, awesome, wonderful thing, right? But if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't get eternal life. You will always exist somewhere, but you will not have eternal life. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to mean. I'm not trying to be any of those things. But the truth is the truth. And sometimes people don't want to say the truth because we do not want to offend anybody. And I don't want to offend anybody. But I'm going to say it like this, like Jesus to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's just all there is to it. Give the Lord some praise. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. He is worthy. You got to be in the family if you want God to hear your prayers. And we want God to hear our prayers. Now, talking to the believer, talking to those of us that have a personal relationship with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We can also have roadblocks in our prayer life. We can also have times in our life where God will not hear our prayers. And that's pretty disturbing to think about. But God wants us to deal with that. Look at Isaiah 59:1 and verse 2. And if you need to be convicted this morning, I hope it brings conviction to you, because it certainly has been bringing conviction to me as I have been prone to wonder, prone to straddle the fence, prone to go the opposite way. As a Christian person, we have to pick up our cross daily and follow him, deny ourselves. Isaiah 59:1 and 2. Behold, anyone like the book of Isaiah? I absolutely love the book of Isaiah. Me and Sister Brenda were talking the other day, and we're both big fans of the book of Isaiah. I was reading some verse, and she was like, that's Isaiah. Yes, it is. Isaiah was one of my, I think it was my father's favorite book in the Bible. And the older I get, and the more time goes by, the more Isaiah is just so precious. There's just so much goodness in that book, as is in all scripture. Isaiah 59:1 and 2. Check this out. Look at your neighbor and say, do this right here to your neighbor. And say, check this out. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. Now, Isaiah 59 verse 1 is super important. God has the ability to meet our needs. God has the ability to hear every single one of us praying in unison. Everybody in the world, if they're praying, God can hear that. Okay, it's not that he has a hearing problem. It's that Paul wrote, it's that other Christian folks have a sin problem. Okay? And that's what's going on here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. Look at verse 2. But your iniquities, these things that are vile, that are repulsive to our Lord, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Isn't that painful? Isn't that painful that our sins can put a wall between us and our God? I'm not saying he will kick you out of the family. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you meant that, you made that decision, okay, you're in the family. He will in no way cast you out. Does that make sense this morning? Okay, but we can hurt our fellowship with the Lord. We can hurt his feelings. We can grieve the Holy Spirit if we refuse to give up things in our life that he has exposed to us and said, this isn't good. I don't want this in your life. And if we refuse to get rid of those things, that can put a wedge between us and our Savior. Not that he'll kick you out, but this can certainly hinder our relationship, hinder our communion, hinder our prayer life. Can I get a witness? Okay, thank you, Jesus. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So you know, sometimes we read scripture and it can like really pierce our heart. And that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to expose to us these things that we're supposed to work on. Remember, his word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And so sometimes God will show us things. And we're even to pray, oh God, expose these things that are not pleasing to you. And he will do that. He'll show us things that we're supposed to work on, things that we're supposed to do that about face or turn from, repent from. And if we don't do that, okay, that's a big problem, okay? And that's the big problem that a lot of us are in. That's a big problem with me. When I realize, man, I like doing this. I dig doing this. But the word of God says, you don't need to do that. This is not pleasing to me. Then there's the problem. You know, let God be true and every man a liar. So that's one of the reasons why we need to spend time in prayer, so we allow God's will to become my will. Does that make sense? Where God will give me the true desires of my heart. I spend time in prayer, God, and God will begin to minister to me and say, you don't need to do that. I got something far better for you. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Okay. Behold the Lord's hand. Verse 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. We're not talking about the unsaved now. We're not talking about the unbeliever or the pagan. We're talking about Christian folk, people that love Jesus Christ, but we have strongholds in our life that we have not given over to the Lord. Okay, and God says, remove that stuff. You need to remove it. And I know this is kind of harsh, but this is the fact of the matter. Do we want God to hear our prayers? Okay, then these are things we need to work on. Look at what the psalmist said, Psalm 66, 18 and 19. If I had cherished iniquity, that which is vile and unpleasing to the Lord, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Okay, I can't say it any plainer than that. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now look at verse 19, church people. But truly, God has listened. Okay, so the psalmist is on to something here. He says, if I would have held iniquity or lawlessness in my heart, God wouldn't have heard my prayer. But God did hear my prayer. God did hear my prayer because I did not do these things. But truly, God has listened. He has attended. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. God heard my prayer. Now think about it, church people. We need to pray. And do you want God to hear your prayer? Of course you want God to hear your prayer. Look at Isaiah 1, 15 and 16. We need God. We need to spend time with the Lord. Is everybody doing all right? Isaiah 1, 15 and 16, talking about that prayer again. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. 16, wash yourselves. Kind of reminds me of James, right, Brother Dalton? Brother Dalton here? Brother Dalton here. Okay, I will not listen. Brother Dalton's been killing it in this Wednesday night class. He's been going through James. I thought I stretched the book of James out when I did the study in here a few years ago. This cat, I swear we've been on like the same verse for like 2 months or something. But it's so good. It's so good. And it's a wonderful blessing, and I couldn't be prouder of Brother Dalton. But anyways, and I'm just funning with him. We're having a great time. He's doing a fabulous job. Anywho, moving forward. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Man, that's sad, dude. That's sad. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. 16, wash yourselves. Repent. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil or do that about face, or repent, turn from your sins so God can hear your prayer. And I honestly hope that we're getting the message. You know, and honestly, if I don't want to sound weird or rude or crude, but if we're getting a little grumpy about this, then maybe we need to do it. If this is bothering you a little bit, maybe we need to repent. Because certainly, as I'm doing the study, God reveals all these things in my life, and I'm like, man, I am one messed up dude, man, you know? But we got to repent of these things. Amen? We got to turn from these things. Okay. So we want God to hear our prayers. So number one, if you're not saved, he's not going to hear your prayer unless you say the prayer of repentance, ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. As believers, we can have these roadblocks in our lives or these strongholds in our life that we refuse to give over to the Lord. And once he's brought those to our attention, we need to repent of those. We need to confess those before him. So what does it mean to confess? Don't think of Catholic confession, but think of confessing your sin before God. Okay, to confess my sin before God would be to see it the way God sees it. And see, that's a problem, man. That's a problem with me in my life with a lot of, you know, with certain things. It's like, do I really see it the way God sees it? Do I really see it as vile and repulsive? The more time I spend with God in prayer and in the Word, yeah, I do. I do begin to see it as vile and repulsive. But sometimes we can be like this, I know it ain't right. I know it ain't the right thing to do, but I sure liked doing it. Yeah, okay. And if we feel that way, and I felt that way, we need to go before the Lord and let him line our will up with his will. Can I get a witness? But we're talking about confessing our sins before our Lord and Savior that knows everything anyways, but he says, you come before me and you confess what you did. And that's not just saying, I did this on April the 14th, I did this. It's not just doing that, but it's seeing it the way God sees it. Okay, and that's what we want to do. We want to see our sin as wicked, just like God sees it. Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? So we want to repent of these things. And so we're in our remaining amount of time, we're going to go through a few more of these things that can be unconfessed sin to a believer, obviously, but things that can hinder our prayer life or cause God to not lend his ear to our prayers. Does that make sense? One of the most obvious ones is forgiveness. All right, and many of us have struggled with that. I've certainly had my battles with that. But Matthew 6 and verse 12, forgiveness. Going back to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 verse 12, and forgive us our debts, or God forgive me of my sins. Matthew 6 12, and forgive us our debts. Look at this part, as we also have forgiven debtors. So remember, any unconfessed or unrepentant sin can hinder God from hearing my prayers, even as a believer. So I do not need to have iniquity. I do not need to say, I'm not going to forgive this person. We don't need to dwell on that too much. We talk about that a lot, but that's something we certainly do not need to have going on in our life. We need to forgive, and it's not up for debate. God says forgive, or I can't forgive you. All God's people said, ouch. I know, man, I know. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Next slide. We want our prayers to be heard, right, church people? Here's another one. Here's another one. A selfish prayer. This one's kind of, I mean, it ain't silly. There's nothing silly about it, but it kind of goes without saying, you know, we can pray for the big promotion so I can have, you know, a better ability to provide for my family or something like that, or be able to serve the Lord better and put $5 in offering plate every 2 months or something. That's not a bad thing. That's not what I would consider, or I don't believe the Lord would consider, a selfish prayer. But what if I was to pray something along the lines, and please forgive me, but I'm struggling up here. God, give me the big promotion so everybody in this office will have to grovel at my feet. You know, or give me the big promotion so I will be able to crush my enemies. That's ridiculous. But God doesn't want us to pray stupid, selfish prayers or pray for something that's not going to be beneficial. Obviously, it's not going to be beneficial to my relationship with the Lord. Amen? Y'all with me? So we'll look at James 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions or to spend it on your lust. God's not interested in selfish, stupid prayers. Not that he doesn't love you, but, you know, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Remember, we're praying for God's will to be done. We want God's will, not my will. Matter of fact, let's jump back at the Lord's Prayer for just a second, Matthew 6 and verse 10. Look at the template. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, it might not be God's will for you to have a fleet of race cars, man. Yeah, it might not be the big thing in your, that might not be what you need to be wasting your time praying about, you know. Your kingdom come, would be cool though. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for God's will, not stupid, selfish stuff. Can I get a witness? Okay, now this is another one that kind of slips underneath the radar, man. Any unconfessed or unrepentant sin can certainly hinder our prayer life, okay? But look at this one right here, 1 Peter 3:7. God wants unity in the home, and that's something that we, husbands and wives, we need to work on. But, you know, let me say it like this, man. The marriage, this beautiful union between a man and a woman, is something very sacred to the Lord, and it's a picture of Christ and his church. You know, it's very special to the Lord. This is something that God himself set up in the Garden of Eden. You know what I mean? It's a very special thing. And so Peter addresses this about how our prayers can be hindered if I'm not treating my mate in a godly fashion. Does that make sense? My prayers can be hindered if I'm not treating my mate in a godly fashion or according to God's will. As a husband, as the man of the house or whatever, however you want to word it, okay, that's a picture of Christ and his church. Well, what in the world did Christ do for the church? What's one thing he did? He laid down his life so that we could live, so that we could exist. So God is looking for people that are devoted to their mate, that wants the best for their mate. Best for their mate. Amen. Putting their mate first. And this is something that we need to strive to do because we certainly, absolutely do not want our prayers to be hindered out of selfishness. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that you're, look, check it out. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, I'm not making any of this stuff up, but God says we need to work on not having strife in the home. You can't help, just like outside of your house, you can't help how other people treat you. You can't help how other people perceive you, but you can. It's up to you how you're going to act, what you're going to do. Remember, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. So God wants us to live out that godly life or that godly testimony or that godly witness right there in our home. Amen. And if we do that, okay, guess what? My prayers won't be hindered. But if me and the old lady are constantly going at it, okay, then that can be a problem right there. And God wants us to deal with that. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So in closing, big things about God not hearing our prayer. Number one, you got to be in the family. You got to be a saved person. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are willingly and knowingly harboring sin in your life, things that God has revealed to you that are not pleasing to him through the word of God or just speaking into your heart, you know, this is not pleasing to me. This is not something Christian folks are need to be thinking about or doing. Man, believe me, I've been there. I live there. I'm just saying that we want God to hear our prayers. So as these things are exposed, we need to turn from those, repent, and confess these sins before the Lord so he will hear our prayers. And we need to spend time in prayer, guys. You've got to spend time in the word. You've got to spend time in prayer. 1 John 1 and verse 9. So this is the ticket. This is the deal. This is what we got to do. If we confess our sins, what is that confession again? It's not just saying what you did, but seeing it the way God sees it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So right now, we want to have that clear connection to the throne room of heaven. We don't want to have any roadblocks. Amen. Right now, let's all pray. Father God, thank you so much. Y'all repeat after me and mean it. Father God, thank you so much. I repent of all my sins. I'm sorry for falling short, Lord. I want what you want out of my life. I want to be your servant and your child. From this day forward, I will be obedient to your word. And when I fall short, I will repent. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. The girls here are about to bless us with a